Bible, the bulletin, or up here. So, let's begin. Acts 18:9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in the city. I'd like to invite Pastor Chris up here.
Wow. Well, good morning. It is, as always, it is great to have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. Let's go ahead and flip on the slides. All right. It is good to be back. Last week, May and I, we were out in Iceland. We had a trip out there. Here's just one quick picture of us. This is in front of the Glacier Lagoon. You can't really tell. The background's kind of backlit, but it was very pretty, a lot of fun. The weather was unfortunately not super cooperative, and so it was cloudy and rainy most of the time. And so we didn't get to see the Northern Lights, and we didn't get to do all the things we wanted to do, but it was still a good time. We're glad that we went, and if you want to get to know a little bit more about our trip, I'm sure you can talk to me, and I would be happy to share with you our experience in Iceland. But we had a great time. But it is good to be back, and I'm glad that I have this opportunity to, again, preach God's Word. We've been going through the book of Acts, and in the past couple of weeks, months, we're starting to go through Paul's missionary journeys. This is the portion of Acts, and we see him kind of going to different cities, and there he is telling people about God. He's doing what God has commanded us to do, the Great Commission, to go into the world and to make disciples. And Paul is exactly doing that. He's going from city to city, town to town. He's telling people that Christ is the Lord, that he is the one who gives us salvation. And that is his message to the people, that this message, this good news, is for everyone, not just for Jewish people, but for Gentiles, for everyone. That's God's love for the world. And today we are in Acts 18, and as we kind of talk about, we see Paul going into the world and telling people, this really matches up, I would say, with the theme that that we have in our English ministry, which is confluence. If you guys don't remember, this is what we've been trying to teach this past year, this idea of us coming together and to go into the world to make an influence, to tell other people about Christ. And so we really hope that this is something that is on our minds, that we are going, we are telling people, we're doing this together to make an influence in the world around us. And that's really what Paul is doing here, and that's what is our challenge for us this morning. And so again, we're in Acts chapter 18, but before we go ahead and do that, let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll get into God's Word. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you just for your goodness to us. We thank you just that, you love us so much, that you give us new life, and you have also given us a great calling, a calling to go into the world and to tell people about you and your love so that they too may come to know you, that they too may be saved. And so we pray that you would continue to help us to do so, that we would go into the world, that we would not be silent, that we would tell others of you. And so, we pray for this time as we get into your word that you'd bless it, that you'd open up our hearts, our ears, our minds to your truth, your message. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain things in the that when the topic kind of comes up, people can get kind of passionate about. And passionate in the sense that they will stand up for it. They'll kind of, put their foot down to argue for different things. Classic example is the Mac versus PC, right? This is a couple years ago, but there's a kind of a debate, which is better, and people kind of get on their soapboxes of which one is better. Nowadays, it's more of the iPhone, right? So it's either your iPhone, Apple phone, or Android, right? And there's actually, people again argue that back and forth, like, oh, this is better, this system's better, whichever phone, and people get really passionate about it. Right, they get really excited, and they'll tell you their point of view and which one is right. I'm an Apple Mac guy, and so you know my stance. But we are a very proud people when it comes to those things, right? Like, no, this is right. We'll kind of put our foot down for certain things. Same thing goes with schools, right? Your alumni, Now, I went to UCSD, and we don't have a football team or anything like that, but I'm still very proud, you know, to be a UCSD alum. People tell, you know, which UC is the best? I'll be like, UCSD is the best school, you know, so beautiful. It's right by the beach. It's laid back. It's a great campus, good program. I love it. Same thing with my seminary for Talbot. That goes the same. We have a little quote-unquote rivalry with Fuller down there in L.A. We have kind of this back and forth. The Fuller people say, oh, we went to Fuller, so we're a Fuller people. Like, you know, that's what they say. And then we at Talbot will go, well, you guys are heretics. And so, just kidding. We have different kind of stances on certain things. But we have a pride that kind of comes with our school. And we'll stand up for that. We'll fight for, you know, which one is good. That's kind of who we are. And then more, you know, kind of down the line is our sports teams, right? I love our Bay Area sports teams. All of these four are my favorite. We'll fight for our team. We'll stand up for them. People try to talk trash, you know, be like, no, you know, our team is better. This is why, you know, the playoffs are, you know, right now the Giants are in the playoffs. It's very exciting. I have a pastor friend. His name is Pat. Who goes to Mountain View Chinese Christian Church, and he's a Cardinals fan. So his congregation is like all Giants fan, and you know he's a Cardinals fan, and you know there's some back and forth, trash talking going there. But it's a lot of fun. But that's what people are. They get really excited, really passionate about certain things, and they'll stand up for it, right? And they'll go out of their way, and they'll fight for what they believe is true. In the same way, hopefully for each one of us, you know, how about our faith? Right? Are we the same when it comes to what we believe in Jesus Christ? Are we willing to stand up and stand out and stand firm, you know, in our faith for Christ, the same that we do with our sports teams, with our schools, alumni schools that we're at, or you know, with Apple versus Android, or whatever it is, right? Are we that same passionate people when it comes to our faith? When people talk, you know, about Christianity, you know, are we willing to go, and are we willing to stand up for him? And that's really the challenge for us this morning, is for us to have that sort of boldness, that willingness to say, you know what, God, I love you so much. I'm so excited about you. I see all these things that you do in my life, and so I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell others about you. So again, we're in Acts chapter 18, so if you guys can open up your Bibles, we will be in Acts 18. And here we see Paul, again, he's on his missionary journey, and this is actually the real end of his second missionary journey. And so he started in Centuria, and he's made a big loop into Asia, and now he's back, and here we have him, he's in Corinth. That's where we start off in Acts 18. And here he says he left Athens, he went to Corinth, and there he found a Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla, okay? And they are also tent makers by trade. That is their job. And Paul, as we know, he's also a tent maker. And so they hook up. They meet up together and they partner together. And he stays with them and they do their tent making business, right, on the side there. Or that's actually their job. That's what they're doing. But every week, what we see as we continue to read is that Paul, every week, he'd go and he'd go into the synagogue, and there he'd have this discussion, he'll have these talks with the Jews and the Greeks there about Jesus Christ. And he's telling them, you know, about Christ and saying, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord, he's our Savior, he's the Messiah, you should believe in him. And he has this conversation with them every week. Now, the Jews did not like that. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And so they were angry with Paul. And they had some words against him. They did not want to listen to Paul, so much so that Paul gets really frustrated with them. And we see here that in verse chapter, what is it, 4, 5? Oh, 6. In verse chapter 6, he shook out his garments against them. It's kind of like, you know, brushing off his shoulders and be like, all right, forget you guys, you know, I'm rejecting you guys. You don't want to hear it, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm going to go and preach to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. But we see that Paul, even though he's so frustrated with the Jews, he actually doesn't really give up on them. What we continue to see, if you read through the first couple of verses here in Acts, he goes on and he goes to a man, a house. He lives with a man named Titus Justus. He's also a worshiper of God. And his house is actually right next door to the synagogue. And so Paul doesn't go very far from the synagogue. In fact, he moves even closer. Right? So he's right there and he still goes and he still talks to people. Verse 8 says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, and eventually together and his entire household, they get baptized. And so Paul, even though he's frustrated with the Jews, he continues to go, he continues to stand up for his faith, continues to tell people about God, and he continues to make an impact. A lot of people come and they believe in what he's saying, and they get baptized. That night, one night, all right, God gives a vision to Paul. He's sleeping, and God gives him this vision. And the verses that Eric read this morning, he says this, right? Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. I have many in the city who are my people. So this morning, again, as we look at the story of Paul, and what he is doing is he is, again, standing up for his faith. And we're in a different time now than Paul was, and Paul was in the synagogue where there are a bunch of believers already. But for us, we are going into the world, and the challenge is the same for us, is that are we living a light in the sinful world? Are we shining for God in the midst of all this other stuff going on? To our classmates, to our coworkers, to just our neighbors, our friends, our family members, are we really bold? Are we willing to go and stand up for God? Now, I know that Paul is someone who is really amazing, right? He is someone who has so much passion for Christ, and he just kind of goes, and he doesn't care about what other people say, and he's super smart. He knows all the scripture, and he just goes, and he tells people. And for us, a lot of times, I know for myself, it's like, maybe I'm not like Paul, right? I can't be like Paul. He's too holy. He's too good. I'm just me. But God's given us, the command for us, is to go into the world. Each one of us needs to go and tell others about Christ. Now, I don't know what your specific call is for your vocation. God has something specifically he wants for each one of you guys to do and be. But the general call is the same for each one of us as believers, right? That Great Commission still stands for us to go into the world to make disciples of all nations. And so today, as we look at this passage, there are four things that I want us to see, okay? Four things that Paul does that I think we should have in our mind as believers, as Christians, of what we can do to really stand out and not be silent, right? To go and tell people about God. So the first thing that we see here that Paul does, a kind of cool thing, is that he was very strategic in being proactive in his faith. Okay, he put himself in a position where he can tell people about Christ. We see here again in the first verse 4, right, that every Sabbath Paul went to the Jewish synagogue. He made that a part of his life. He put that in his schedule. Now, you know what? Even though I'm busy every day, I'm working and all these things, I want to make a point in my life to go into the synagogue, because I know there are people there that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so he makes a point to go and to tell people about Christ there. He's very intentional about it. He's very proactive about his faith. And he kind of goes out of the way. Now, I know for ourselves, that might not be super comfortable, right? Again, for me, I'm not, super comfortable in doing that. Sorry, this is Paul. He's going and telling people about Christ, right? And for myself, I'm like, I'm a shy person. I don't like to talk to strangers, to newcomers. I can't do that, Instead, I think for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, we fall into this idea that, the way I'm going to evangelize to people is by missional lifestyle evangelism, okay? And the idea is this, that my life, I'm just going to live a good life, right? The way that I speak, the way that I act, the way that I think, I'm just going to live for Christ, and hopefully people will be able to see Christ through my life, through the way I live my life, that they will come to know Christ. Okay? And I think that's great. I think I hope all of us are doing that, that our neighbors, our, again, friends and families, coworkers, classmates, that when they see us, they see Christ in us. I think that's great. And we should do that. We should be that kind of a light. However, I really believe that eventually we're going to have to speak up. Okay? Eventually, that conversation needs to be had about Christ. We can go on in our everyday life and live really good, holy Christian lives, and people can see that, but eventually that conversation needs to come up. We're going to have to talk to them. Hey, do you know Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Can I share with you about what I believe? That conversation needs to come up, because for the most part, the other people aren't going to ask you. Okay, that's just how it is. Here's a little comic where the boss is saying to the coworker. The boss says, "When are you going to show some initiative, Finley?" And the guy says here, "When you tell me to do so, you know, then I'm going to, sir, then I'll take initiative." And that's not initiative, obviously, right? And I think that's the idea. A lot of people are kind of like that. Our friends, our non-Christian believers, believing friends, they're not going to take the initiative. You know, they're going to wait for you to kind of bring it up, and then maybe they'll have that conversation with you, for the most part. And so I think, again, for us, the number one thing, first thing for us to do is we need to be proactive in our faith, okay? We need to kind of go out of our way. We need to make those conversations happen, as awkward as it may. We need to bring it up and say, you know what, this is what I believe, or this is something, again, I learned, I've been learning in church, and I want to talk to you about this, because I believe it's true, because it's something I believe is real and important. Let me talk to you about it. And so those conversations need to come up, okay? Live missionally, yes, good. Live a lifestyle that people see and say, yeah, that person lives differently, but hopefully, eventually, we'll come back to where we speak up, okay? We actually start talking to people about it. The second thing that we see Paul do is that he actually has a good conversation, or his mindset is that he wants to have a good conversation with those non-believers. This is what it says in Acts chapter 18:4. It says, "He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and he tried to persuade Jews and Greeks." Okay, what you see here is that word, he reasoned with them. Okay, he didn't just try to bash it over their head, whatever, you know, he believes, but he was trying to understand them, and he was trying to explain to them his faith, right? And he reasoned with them. I like that word, because it shows that it was this dialogue, right? His trying to come to know who they are. And I think for us as believers, the same way, you know, we should try to get to know our friends who don't believe yet, right? Their doubts, their questions, what their confusions, what their view is on Christ and certain things. And just to, again, we're not trying to force it down their throat. Just, hey, you know, what is it? You know, what is that conversation? You know, what do you believe? Let me try to understand you. And I think by doing that, you know, then they will be more willing to hear what we have to say. Now, for Paul, it was difficult. And I know this is difficult. But this is the response that he got, right? This is different versions of Acts 18:6. The ESV says they opposed and they reviled him. The NIV say they opposed him and they became abusive. CEV says they turned against him, they insulted him. And the Message said that all they did was argue contentiously and contradict him at every turn. And so for Paul, he was trying to have a conversation, yeah, with these Jews. He's trying to explain to them. He's trying to understand them. But for them, they just wanted to argue, right? They just wanted to say, no. Every one little thing, no, I don't believe it. You're wrong. Whatever, I'm not listening. No, right? That's kind of what they wanted to do, was just to argue. And I think for us, hopefully, is that we don't get into that type of a heated argument where both sides are just, you know, we're just not going to listen to each other. Again, Paul was trying to reason with them, trying to understand them, trying to talk with them. Two kind of comic strips, again, about evangelism and not trying to just beat it over people's heads. This is from Peanuts. Here's Lucy and, forgot his name. Linus and, that's not Lucy, that's Sally. Linus and Sally, sorry. Sally says this. Okay, Sally says, "I would have made a good evangelist. You know that kid who sits behind me at school?" And she says, "I convinced him that my religion is better than his religion." And Linus goes, "How did you do that?" And she says, "I hit him with my lunchbox," right? And bam, right? That's how I told him. Similar, another comic strip. Here's the pastor talking to a guy, he says, "It's a shame that I couldn't reach you with God's message. Perhaps the deacons will have better luck." And there's the deacons on the side there with the little bats ready to hit them right over the head with John 3:16 or whatever it is, right? And a lot of times I think when it comes to conversations about faith, it can get into kind of this, just, you know, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to just try to shove my faith down your throat, you know, believe otherwise, you know, whatever. And that doesn't get anywhere, really, right? And so, again, we should take Paul's approach in really trying to have good conversations in our faith with people, okay, talk to them. Now, one other thing that I do need to point out is, in order to have these good conversations with people about our faith, we need to know God's Word. Okay, we actually need to study it. We need to get into it. We have to know what it says. Here's, you know, this person, whoever this person is, highlighting all these verses, underlining, taking notes, and really digging in. And that's what it is. If we want to have an intellectual conversation with our friends, we need to know what we believe, right? Otherwise, it will just be a, you know, he said, she said, kind of, again, my side versus your side, and nothing can happen. So hopefully for us, we are learning, we are growing in our faith, we kind of know what we believe. We have some Bible verses that we can point to, some maybe history stuff that we can point to, and so that we can have these conversations, okay, with people. So again, that's number two. Second thing is have a good conversation, bring it up, okay, be bold and going and telling and try to talk to people in a good civil way about what we believe. Okay, that's what Paul is trying to do here. Okay, the third thing that we see here is that Paul was very bold in going and telling people about his faith. And a reason for that is, one, God told him, hey, trust me, you know, you are not in this alone, right? Here he says in Acts 18:9-10, do not be afraid, right? This is the verse we read, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. God gives Paul the encouragement that he is not alone. And the first thing he says is, you know, I'm not alone. I'm with you. God is saying that to him. That I am with you. And so you can, you know, have confidence in going and telling people. And I think for us, you know, that's kind of a good thing to know. We know God is with us and we can be bold. But I really like the second part of this verse that says, there are many in my city who are my people. And I think this is a good encouragement for us to let us know that we are not in this alone. Right, that we have partners in Christ. We have someone who can come alongside us, and we're doing this together. We're doing this as a church. We're doing this as a fellowship group, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going into the world together. It's not a solo mission. You guys don't have to do it alone. And so that is why I'm really encouraged when you guys do come and you participate and you get in, you know, in this with in youth group or small groups and coming together and learning together and growing together, because this is what it is, okay? We're working together. It's a partnership where we can go into the world together. And that's, again, our theme, confluence, coming together to influence the world for Christ together. So remember that, yeah, we're not in this alone, okay? That we have people next to you. Hopefully the support is there. Whenever, if you have, you know, again, a tough friend that isn't just, you know, believing in Christ, and, you know, hey, you know, can you get somebody to come along with you and share, you know, with them? Or, yeah, do it together. Don't do it alone, okay? So again, number three, the third thing for us to remember is to be bold, right, to go into the world and to tell people that, hey, we're not in this alone. We can do it together, so be bold. The last thing that we see here is a need for discipleship. And a need to not just bring people to church and have them believe and that's it, right? But there's a process that goes on in trying to help one another grow in their faith. We see verse 11, this is the verse we didn't read, but it says, Paul, stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. See, Paul didn't just go to Corinth, baptize, tell people about Christ, baptize them, and then he just took off and said, all right, I'm done here. People are believed. I'm just going to go out to the next city and do the same thing, right? But he made it a point to stay a year and a half to really invest in this people, these new believers, and say, you know what? And how can I help you guys grow in your faith? And that really is what discipleship is all about. And so for us, as we hopefully are inviting friends and non-believers into our community here, and for people to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that doesn't just end there, but we continue to disciple them, continue to help them grow in their faith, to teach them, okay, you know, this is what it means to be a Christian, right? Help them to do that. That's what it is, and hopefully as we do that, we'll continue to multiply, right? That you would disciple a few people, and that they would be able to disciple more people, and that would continue to grow and grow and grow. That's how a church grows. That's how a community grows. And this is what Paul was doing here. He continues to stay investing in the people at this church, the community there in Corinth. Okay? So again, four things, really simply, again, of what we believe. Number one is for us to go, to be bold, and to put ourselves in a position where we can really, you know, talk to people about Christ, all right? You guys have neighbors, you guys have friends, again, family members, coworkers, and classmates, people who God has put in your lives around you. And, you know, have those conversations. That's number two, right? To bring it up, have a good back and forth, and just, you know, trying to talk about our faith in a non, you know, just beating them over the head way. That's what we want to do, right? Number three, remember that we're in this together. You don't have to do it alone, but God is with us, and not only God is with us, but the community here is with us as well. And then finally, to disciple, right? To make disciples, to continue to follow up, to continue to help that person mature and grow in their faith. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll ask the worship team to come back up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again just for Paul and his passion for you and his example of really going into the world and telling people about you. And I know it's difficult. I know it's tough. I know that we have a lot of fears, and sometimes people will just argue against us and they won't listen. But I pray that we would not give up, and that we would continue to go, and that we would continue to share our faith, and that you'd give us the right words to say, the wisdom to have insight into these conversations, and that as we talk to them, that you would slowly change the hearts of those around us, and that they may really come to know you, and that we would continue to follow up with them, and that they would, yeah, really grow in their faith as well. And so continue to use us, God. I pray that we as Canaan here would be a church that is continuing to live out this great commission for you. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sorry. Okay, let's all rise.